Let's continue reading Zechariah chapter 13. Now in this chapter, we have the continuation of Zechariah's second prophetic burden or oracle. It is about the future national cleansing of Israel. Zechariah chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. In that day, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. It shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. It shall come to pass that if anyone still prophesies, then his father and mother who begot him will say to him, You shall not live, because you have spoken lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And it shall be in that day that every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. They will not wear a robe of coarse hair in order to deceive. But he will say, I am no prophet. I am a farmer. For a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one will say to him, What are these wounds between your arms? Then he will answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, This is my people. And each one will say, The Lord is my God. Once again, some background notes. Although Zechariah is only a small book in the Bible, there are about 40 quotations from this minor prophet in the New Testament. In fact, Zechariah predicts more about the Messiah than any of the other prophets, with the exception of Isaiah. Now, here in chapter 13, we learn several more truths about the coming Messiah. We have three doctrinal points or teaching points. So, doctrinal or teaching point number one. In that day, a fountain will be opened for Israel. In that day, a fountain will be opened for Israel. Verse 1, once again. In that day, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Remember the phrase, in that day, refers to the end times, after the rapture of the church. It includes the coming tribulation period as well as the millennial kingdom of our Lord on this earth. Now notice what verse 1 does not say. It does not say that in that day a fountain shall be created or made or come into being for sin and uncleanness. No, it says a fountain shall be opened for sin and uncleanness. In other words, the fountain is already there, but in that day it will be opened for Israel. That is, the benefits will become available. Now, what is this fountain for sin and uncleanness? It's the work of Christ on the cross in dying for the sins of the world. That work has been accomplished. It is finished. The fountain is there. The water from that cleansing fountain is available for anyone, including Jews and Gentiles. But right now, Israel is blinded as to this fountain. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says that a veil lies over their heart. But in a coming day, that veil will be taken away. The fountain will be opened and Israel will receive the Messiah that they once rejected and pierced. Like Hagar of old in Genesis 21, Israel's eyes will be opened and they will see the fountain of the pierced Messiah, the fountain that was there all the time. In that day, a fountain will be opened for Israel. Doctrinal point number two. In that day, idolatry will be cut off from Israel. In that day, idolatry will be cut off from Israel. Verse 2. It shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. We know that as we move toward the end times, idolatry will return to Israel. We saw that back in Zechariah chapter 10. Revelation chapter 9, verse 21 says that in the end time, people will not repent of their sorceries. And this would certainly include people of Israel. In Matthew chapter 12, the Lord Jesus said, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes out through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation." That's Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. And the context makes it clear that the Lord has the nation of Israel in view. So idolatry will return to Israel in the future. But the good news here in Zechariah 13 is that all this idolatry will be cut off and removed from the land. Now in verses 3 through 5 of Zechariah 13, we have what at first seems to be a very difficult passage of Scripture. However, in light of other portions of Scripture dealing with this tribulation period of the end times, it becomes more clear. In that day, in association with the idolatry of the last days, there will be a number of false prophets in the land of Israel. As the believing remnant begins to increase and multiply during these days, it will become increasingly difficult for these false prophets. These false prophets will lie and deceive and pretend they are not false prophets. However, slowly but surely, they will be eliminated as more and more of the nation turns to the Lord and idolatry is cut off in Israel. Now, verse 6 has been interpreted a couple of different ways by different commentators. Let's read verse 6 once again. "And one will say to him, 'What are these wounds between your arms?' Then he will answer, 'Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.'" Is this a prophetic reference to the wounds of the Messiah? Or is it part of the lying of the false prophets in the context? That is, the false prophets will lie about the cuts on their bodies. They were actually received in idolatrous rituals or ecstatic frenzies, but they will lie about it. And they will say, these cuts are merely accidents that took place with their friends. So what's the interpretation here? Not easy to decide, right? But it certainly seems that this verse is in the context of the false statements made by the false prophets. However, since verse 7 does speak about the Messiah, I suppose you could build a case that verse 6 is to be linked with verse 7, and thus verse 6 does apply to the Messiah, if that is the case. And certainly many Christians have interpreted verse 6 in this way. In any case, in that day, idolatry will be cut off from Israel. And doctrinal point number 3, in that day, salvation will come to one-third of Israel. In that day, salvation will come to one-third of Israel. Verse 7 is certainly a reference to the crucifixion of Christ. Let's read verse 7 once again. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones." As a result of Israel's rejection of the Messiah, the Lord was crucified and the flock was scattered. The Lord quoted this prophecy in Matthew 26 in reference to the disciples forsaking him and fleeing at the time of his crucifixion. And of course, the nation of Israel was scattered by the Romans in 70 AD. Now, the last phrase of verse 7, "but then I will turn my hand against the little ones," probably refers to the Lord's allowing the persecution of the early Jewish Christians, as we read in the book of Acts. This has also been translated as a more positive statement, "I will turn my hand toward the little ones." Notice, by the way, who does the striking of the shepherd here in verse 7? It is God himself. It's the same idea that we have in Isaiah 53, verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Here is the heart of the gospel, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this is the means by which national cleansing will be available for Israel. Now in verses 8 and 9, we move on to the time of the end. Let's read verses 8 and 9 once again. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left in it. I will bring the 1/3 through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. What a great day that will be. In the meantime, the present time between verses 7 and 8, Israel, for the most part, is still scattered around the world and still unbelieving as to the true shepherd. But as a result of the future refining fires of the tribulation period, verse 9, 1/3 of the Jewish people will turn to the Lord. This is the believing remnant of Israel that will come out of the tribulation. This is the all Israel of Romans chapter 11, verse 26. I'm reading Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. So when it gets down to actual numbers, 2/3 of Israel will continue to reject the Lord Jesus as their Messiah, but 1/3 of the Jewish people will turn in faith and receive the Lord. In that day, salvation will come to 1/3 of Israel. Now, what about practical application from Zechariah chapter 13? Have you been to the cleansing fountain? Have you been to the cleansing fountain? Verse 1 again. In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. We've seen that this fountain of cleansing will be open for Israel in the future, but it's available for anyone now. This is the fountain of cleansing from sin established at Calvary. Have you been to that fountain? You know, we often sing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Have you been to that cleansing fountain? You must come personally to that cleansing fountain for salvation. Coming to that fountain is more than being born into a Christian family, or marrying a Christian wife, or being with Christians all the time, or coming to church every Sunday. Coming to that fountain means coming to Christ as an individual and acknowledging that you are a sinner in need of cleansing. Only because Jesus died and shed his blood on Calvary's cross for you can you be cleansed. And you can be completely cleansed if you come to the fountain. But you must come. How tragic to die unwashed when the cleansing fountain is readily available. Have you been to the cleansing fountain?